Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs a long one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Ed Simain, the founder of the Pro Martial Arts Franchise System. And the Pro Martial Arts Franchise System is a result of decades of training and teaching experience. It encompasses an exciting and diverse curriculum of martial arts techniques drawn from the Korean arts of Tang Soo Do, Taekwondo, and Hapkido. And that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. Stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs of one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Ed Simain, who is the founder of the Pro Martial Arts Franchise System. And the Pro Martial Arts Franchise System is a result of decades of training and teaching experience. It encompasses an exciting and diverse curriculum of martial arts techniques drawn from the Korean arts of Tang Soo Do, Taekwondo, and Hapkido. Did I say that correct, Ed? How you doing today?
Well, you know, you said it real good. I think you were close enough. It's Tang Soo Do, but
okay.
The rest of them were perfect.
I said to Don, I said, I don't know if I should chance this and say that. I should. But it's great to have you on the show. It's what we've been doing this show now almost 6 years, Ed, and it's not often that we get to have a franchise that's in kind of like, I guess you could say, our backyard. We're in Easton, Pennsylvania, and I know you're also from the Pennsylvania area yourself. Where are you calling from this morning?
We're in the King of Prussia area. That's where our corporate headquarters is.
Nice, nice. Which isn't far, I guess, our listeners, not far from, like, Philadelphia, right?
Absolutely. We're about, 30 minutes outside of the city.
That's fantastic. This is, when we were reading about this story, I mean, it's emotional and it's inspirational at the same time, how pro martial arts actually, I guess you could say, originated. I think for your story, we might have to go back to when you were a kid. Maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about, how the whole concept came about.
Well, I started martial arts when I was 11 years old.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I started martial arts is, I was a heavier child. And,
yeah.
Like a lot of heavy kids, and especially at that age, sometimes
yeah.
you get picked on in school. And I wanted a way to shape my body and also learn to defend myself. So I started martial arts training back then. Took to it right away. It wasn't easy because I was overweight, but,
right.
it changed my life and got my black belt, got various degrees of black belt as time went on, and I started teaching in 1991
mm-hmm.
and opened a series of schools. We always were heavily into customer service and, business systems. I opened six schools in this area. And as you know, prior to us, there was really no national brand in this space.
Right.
So this is a mom and pop industry. We saw that opportunity in late 2008, probably the worst month in franchising history, October 2008. We launched the brand. So to sum it up quickly, that's how we got here.
And I guess, I don't know if you get the question a lot, but like, what separates you guys from, some of the other companies, I guess you could say, out there, or the mom and pops, how do you usually respond to that?
Right. I mean, I would say we have several key separators. One, I would say, foremost, everything we do is systemized,
mm-hmm.
Branded, prototyped, from a business perspective. Our model is semi-absentee. It's not designed for a martial arts school owner. It's designed for a business person who, can keep their job. We actually help them hire the karate instructors and the salespeople. And from a pure technical perspective, the karate studios as a whole are selling martial arts training. That's their primary thing. Where we utilize martial arts as a platform for what our primary thing is, and that is, armor. Armor is our bullying and predator prevention program and character education and life skills. Karate kind of gives us the platform to relay that messaging. So karate is actually number three in what we do. And I would say they're the key differentiators. And, we've been developed by, one of the most well-known development firms in the country that has, put a lot of brands on the map. So this is really designed to be a business person's franchise, not a karate person's franchise.
Did you know, like, when you first got into this, Ed, that you would be, I guess you could say, franchising this concept? I mean, you used a very powerful word, which is, systematize this whole thing, so it sounds like it can certainly be duplicated, whether it's in Philadelphia or Los Angeles, California. So how did you know, I guess, when you guys were ready to start franchising?
Well, I would say we weren't ready. I mean, we had probably 50% of the pieces that we needed in place around 2008, and we launched in October. And as I, at that point, I was like a white belt, a novice at franchising. I'm a master at karate, but a novice at franchising.
But
what we did was we partnered with Rhino 7 Franchise Development.
Mm-hmm.
They've done Great Clips, Planet Beach, a lot of big brands.
Oh, absolutely.
And they brought a lot of expertise, and they helped us put in the pieces that were missing to the puzzle to actually launch this nationally. And after getting those pieces, it took us a year or so to make sure we had all the pieces in place, and that's when we actually did what I would call a hard launch.
It seems like, it's just karate itself is just becoming more popular. I have two nephews that recently signed up for karate, and my son, who's 4 years old, my wife's already looking into it, And, the industry seems like it's pretty big. Are there any numbers? Does it seem like there's growth in the industry?
Well, you know, I mean, let me put you this way. Our brand and our schools have grown even during the recession, okay?
Right.
As a whole, the industry consolidated during the recession. Probably a couple thousand schools closed down. I think there's about 12,000 schools out there. That's full and part-time. But, you know, at one point, I think there was as high as 14 or 15,000. So, you know, during the recession, those schools closed down, which is great because that tells me that our franchisees, you know, there's a couple thousand slots open across the country that they can move into that under a good economy, you know, they were surviving. So, yeah, there's been some consolidation, but consolidation, as you know, creates opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. What's been, to put you on the spot, the most interesting thing that's happened to you since starting this whole thing yet? I mean, I'm sure you probably have 100 stories, but is there anything that stands out, you know, since you got involved in this whole thing?
I would say the key thing is that I've learned a lot, and what we've built our system on is, and I'm going to use the term congruency. What I like so much about the franchising model is it's to be successful, it's got to be completely transparent and it's got to be congruent.
Right.
That means that my perspective before used to be of a dojo operator. Now I look at stuff, and when I make decisions with my team, I have to say, okay, do the decisions, you know, me and the franchisee, PMA Corporate and the franchisee, we're partners. And one affects the other, so I have to do what's in the best interest for the franchisees so they're successful. Therefore, we generate more revenues at corporate. The franchisee validates well and helps us sell more franchises. Now, if I don't do that, that all comes back to me too. If we make a decision that's bad for the system, the franchisee becomes unhappy, they tell the next person that's going to come in they're not happy, and it shrinks our system. So it forces you to perform at a very high level of integrity, and that's something that I've learned, and I think that's actually lined up very well with my philosophy in martial arts.
Wow. What types of characteristics do you look for in your franchisees? I mean, do they have to have experience in karate, or can anyone get into this?
We prefer it if they don't have experience in karate. If they have it, that's okay, but I mean, that's
okay.
Not who we market to. We're looking for people that have a business background, you know, that have had some past success in business. They got to like, you know, working in the children's space, the fitness space. They have to want to give back to the community. That's real important to us. I mean, our brand is all about giving back to the community, getting entrenched in the community. And the franchisees got to kind of fit that profile. And they can keep their job, as I said, so they don't need to do this full time. But they have to, you know, have those drivers. And, you know, of course, we like them to have, you know, for one unit, at least a net worth of $250,000.
Right. Okay, good. So once you decide that someone is, I guess you could say, a match for your system, and they like you guys, you know, you like them, and they decide to go forward with the franchise, what's the training like from there? How does that typically work?
Well, we do a six-day training here in the King of Prussia area. They come in. They, at this point, they have hired their instructor and their program director, which is their sales manager or manager, you would call them. They all come into training in Philadelphia. They get, you know, approximately, you know, 20 to 25 hours of office and management and systems training, everything from, you know, how your bathroom should be clean to how your dojo, you know, should look and operate to, you know, how to relay character lessons to students, how to deal with a mother or father that may have issues on bullying, all that stuff, to the actual karate stuff. We make all our franchisees put on a uniform. Even if they're never going to do karate, we make them put on a uniform and for that week, you know, get on the floor because my philosophy is you can't sell something. Sales is a transference of belief, so you can't sell it unless you've done it. So they have to taste it a little bit.
Yeah, that's well said. What's the location like for you guys at? I mean, as far as, or what do you look for in a location for your franchisees as far as, like, space goes? And, you know, do you need to be on, like, a main strip?
Well, you know, we want to be in, you know, heavily trafficked. You know, we start our demographic studies. You know, we look at Maine on Maine initially, and then when we, you know, work backwards from there, we try to get them the very best bang for the buck. You know, they want to be in a retail center with, you know, like-minded businesses. If you have a grocery anchor where mom can kind of go while you know, little Joey's taking karate lessons, you know, like in our King of Prussia shop, we have a Chuck E. Cheese there, a McDonald's, things that are going to drive families that are well-lit, safe shopping centers with, a you know, ample parking. And we do extensive demographic studies. We've partnered with Baum Real Estate. I don't know, I think they do Justice and some other brands out of Chicago. They pull all the demographics. We want to make sure there's a lot of kids in the area and, you know, middle to upper middle income at least.
Interesting, right. It would make sense. What's a typical day like for someone who knows nothing about this business yet? I mean, what's that like? I mean, from, I guess you could say, from when you go into the dojo till, I guess, like the end of the day, if you can paint a picture of that.
Well, you know, of course we have two types of operators, okay? You have an operator that's an owner-operator, then you got a semi-absentee operator, you know, someone that's keeping their job. So what happens is, if a semi-absentee operator is keeping their job, they're going to come in the evening, you know, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock for a few hours. Before then, their program director, their sales manager is their only full-time employee. They typically come in, you know, work from noon to 8. 20 hours of their week is they're out in the community doing community outreach, networking with schools, churches, synagogues, daycares, you know, trying to give the community, you know, free seminars on bullying, predator prevention, trying to do stuff to get the community to tie in with the dojo. And in the evening, that program director, you know, is the face of the school, and they kind of deal with the parents, their issues, do the membership sales and renewals. The instructors are part-time employees. There's usually 2 to 3 instructors. They work about 20 hours a week, you know, 4 to 8 in the evening. We have a very low student-to-teacher ratio. I believe in that to get quality out there. And they're, you know, teaching the classes and the character lessons and the bullying lessons. And the owner just kind of steps in, sets the goals at the beginning of the week for his team. The program director executes and the instructors execute what's on the floor. And the owner just kind of oversees what's going on 10, 15, 20 hours a week. That's the semi-absentee owner.
Right.
The owner-operator a lot of times takes the role of that program director, that manager, salesperson, and they do that community outreach piece. So they would be in, you know, 12 to 8. They would get involved in, you know, the local business associations, the PTOs, and, you know, the community outreach, and they would take that position.
It sounds like the bullying has become a popular topic today, hasn't it? I mean, it just seems more popular than ever. I don't know if it just seems to be a hot topic on the news, but it's I mean, again, it happened to you a long time ago, but it also sounds like it stopped fairly quickly, I guess, after you started taking karate lessons, would you say?
Right. I would say, you know, 6 months it really started to stop, 12 months it was done, you know. The bullies tend to, as you know, pick on people that they kind of see are easy victims, okay?
Right.
The big thing here is today, all right, it's a little bit tougher, and I get asked this a lot of times, you know, why is bullying so prevalent today? And I think the reason is that, you know, when I was a kid, if you got bullied, you went home and you were kind of safe. You know, you had your family, your friends at home, and it was done. Today, with the internet, cyberbullying, social media, all that stuff, the kid never gets a break. It's constant.
True.
So it's a lot tougher today for kids, and I think that also has brought it more to the you know, the forefront of society. Is like, okay, these kids, there's no break. People are seeing it more too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well said. So now, I guess at this point of your life, you're considered an entrepreneur, Ed. I don't know if you've always known that you were going to be an entrepreneur. Sometimes we find that, you know, people knew at an early age that they were going to be an entrepreneur. Are you surprised, you know, where you are today? I mean, if I asked you 20 years ago if you saw yourself doing this, would you be surprised?
Yes. I mean, you know, I would have been surprised, of course, you know. Yeah, I did not think I'd be the one changing a particular industry or particular space out there.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I had karate schools. I was a consultant in the martial arts and fitness industry as well. So I was doing that, and I thought I was taking on that path. But, you know, you make decisions, and those decisions lead you down certain roads. And I'm here today, and, you know, I'm very comfortable in this role. I enjoy it, and it's part of my growth. I believe, you know, you either go forward or backward, and I'm big into growth, and I'm enjoying it, and I think I still have a lot to learn.
That's great. So as an entrepreneur now, I mean, what advice would you give to our listeners? Ed, we call them aspiring franchipreneurs. You know, we know that most of them listening to the show have it in their mind that they want to get into franchising, but I think today it seems to be so challenging. We were recently at the franchise show at the Jacob Javits Center, and when I was with my wife, she's like, oh, my God, there's so many different franchises here. How do you know which one to choose? What would you say to them as far as, you know, helping them in their quest to buy a franchise?
Yeah, by the way, I heard that was a great show, one of the better ones in years. I got a lot
it really
of positive
was.
Feedback
I
got to
tell
that.
You, yeah. I mean, this was unusual. I was shocked, you know, to see so many people there. You know, and we just walked the floor, actually. We didn't exhibit, but I couldn't believe how many people were there this year. It was surprising.
Right. You know, I would say that, you know, it's just like I equate it a lot to what I do in the karate dojo. I tell the kids a lot, and the same thing I'd say to an entrepreneur. I said, you know, you need drive, discipline, and determination, okay? Mm-hmm. Things that are worth doing aren't easy. And, you know, I'm one of these people that along the way I've had many no's, no, you know, but, you know, I always look at no as a go, and I go forward, and I persevere, and I keep pushing, and I keep driving. And that's what I would say. Hey, keep pushing, keep driving. If you have a goal, a dream, go for it, because you can do anything that anybody else can do. And, you know, success is not easy. Success is a process, and, you know, it kind of chisels your character during it. So my advice would be, if they really want to do something, you know, don't be discouraged. Naysayers are always going to be there. Just keep your eye on the prize and keep going forward.
Yeah, that's well said. So what about the future? I guess if you had a crystal ball and I said, you know, where do you see yourselves maybe 5 years down the road at? Any thoughts?
I think 5 years down the road, you know, Pro Martial Arts should have sold 500 units and probably have, you know, 350 open 60 months from today.
Right.
I mean, we're in a pretty, you know, a fast-paced run at this point. I mean, I can see that happening, and, you know, we'll probably be developing more programs as far as life skills and character for the kids, you know, and giving back to the community more. I mean, that's what I see happening in the next 60 months.
That's fantastic. So do you think, I have a four-year-old son, do you think he's too young to start karate, or is it a good time for him to start?
You know, it's interesting. If it was a four-year-old daughter, I'd tell you 100% they're good. I have a five-year-old son, and I started him at four. And I'm going to tell you, the first 6 months were heavy lifting, but, you know, he got used to it. A lot of the times the parents have to understand, especially with boys, you know, I think that they mature a little slower than girls. That's just my opinion. As long as you're open to the fact that he's going to have fun, it's going to take them a little bit longer than maybe a girl that age, then give it a shot. And a lot of karate studios like us, we let them try out a couple classes for free assess the child and see if they're ready. And it's all about attention span. And just because someone isn't ready at four doesn't mean they won't be a rock star student at age five. You know what I mean?
True, absolutely. That's well said. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee or any of the services that you guys provide at, or any website they should go to?
Absolutely. Our website is www.promartialarts.com. They can go there. We have links to locations nationwide as well as, you know, to our franchise if they're interested in getting information on that.
That's fantastic. And I tell you, if I'm in the King of Prussia area in the near future, I'll stop by and come by and shake your hand and say hello to you.
Hey, you're always welcome. You're a neighbor. Come on down. I'd love to show you what we're doing.
Thanks so much, Ed. It was great to have you on the show. You have a good day today.
Thank you, Marty. Have a good day, too.
Thank you. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Thanks.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, which podcast you get to hear. Great Quote in Franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 6 years, if you can imagine, and it's amazing to see how far the show's come. You know, we frequently joke around that, you know, when we started the show, we started off with about 5 listeners. I think it was my mom, Don's wife, my wife, and a couple of, you know, friends and family, and that was it. And, you know, to date, we're over 4,000 listeners on a monthly basis between our radio show and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising, and, of course, our website, Franchise Interviews. So we've never done this before, but want to thank everyone for making this show such a tremendous success. During that time, 6 years of doing the show, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. And if you're a frequent listener to the show, you know what fans Don and I are of the legendary Michael Gerber. And you could take any clip or any segment from an interview we've done with Michael, and it's probably noteworthy of being in the Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. But this, I have to say, is certainly one of my favorites. And I've shared this with my students since I've heard this great quote. So here we go with the legendary Michael Gerber.
Essential to creating something, a company that works better than any other.
Right. I mean, it's really like, Michael, you're having people, you know, stretch their imagination and to dream even bigger than what they were previously doing.
Absolutely.
And make it constructive, of course.
Yeah, because I'm actually saying that people don't fail because they dream too big. People fail because they dream too small. People fail because they don't rise above where their experience would lead them. People fail because they don't truly begin to dare to imagine something that they've never actually imagined before. And as I bring people into the dreaming room, as people participate with me, they begin to experience something they have never experienced, or if they had experienced, they'd experienced it years ago, but in some way lost the ability to dream. So it's a remarkable thing. I never would have told you I'd be doing it, but in fact I see it as the absolutely essential piece to anybody who wants to do anything, let alone buy a franchise. The beginning of that process is to dream.
You know, it's really like an awakening. I mean, in life there's just so much that can just, you know, I guess sort of beat you down a little bit. You know, life's not easy, and there's work, and there's family, I guess over time that maybe you just don't have the time or just forget about something simple like dreaming. So you're really just reintroducing it to people, you know, kind of waking them up again, so to speak.
Well, I'm reintroducing the question, what in the hell am I here for?
Right.
What is my life? And time goes on for all of us, and it's tick, tock, tick, tock, and time goes on, and I simply become immersed in all of the doing it that I've committed myself to. And I never stop to really ask, is this really what I want? Is this really what I want to do? Is this really the entire purpose of my life? Is this really going to give me the experience that I truly am hungry for, the joy that I truly am missing right now? What in the world am I doing with myself? And I'm simply suggesting, without asking that question in a very, very provocative way, people miss the most extraordinary opportunities that they will never see until they begin to ask the question, then who am I? What do I want? Where am I going? And these questions begin to provoke some very, very serious introspection. And that's critical for anybody who is, as you say, sitting there about to think about going off on their own, about buying a business, about buying a franchise, or about creating a business of their own. Critical, critical, critical. And nobody's talking about it.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So it's a critical element to entrepreneurial success, Michael. All this dreaming, I think you mentioned in the manuscript, it gives you fuel to stay up late and get up early in the morning.
That's where the juice comes from.
Absolutely.
I mean, can you imagine Michael Dell creating Dell Computer? I mean, you think about that. He was a college student who began to diddle with this idea, the idea, the big idea, the great result, and he created this stunning company, this extraordinary company that does what it does in a way that nobody else imagined it could be done. Taking a commodity, a computer, and turning it into a product, a true invention, the way in which Dell provides customized computers in a standardized process. Customized, standardized, an extraordinary idea that rules the world today. And yet you don't hear that expression in most places. And certainly you don't hear it in franchising. Customized, standardized. How do you do that? Well, that requires entrepreneurial imagination and verve. And that's what creates absolutely stunning companies. So if you're going to do that, you might as well do something in the business you're about to create that truly transforms the lives of the people.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again next week with another edition of Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.